Something for the weekend. It's Trina Murray here, and on the line we've got Andrea Smith from RSVP Magazine. Good morning. You're online as well, though, aren't you?
Good morning, Trina. Yes, online as well.
Yes, absolutely. So, listen, today I want to talk to you about the Madeleine McCann documentary that has been on Netflix. I think at this stage, a lot of people have probably watched the whole lot because we wanted to leave it a couple of weeks. It's been out a couple of weeks now. What are your thoughts, Andrea?
Right, I would say that this is probably the subject I've had more arguments with people over the years about than anything else, but I just feel that her parents, Kate and Jerry McCann, were completely vilified through this whole experience. I mean, I think that, yes, absolutely, they took a risk, a bad risk, leaving their children unaccompanied while they went out. But, Trina, at the time, people viewed holiday resorts as safe, and you know, parents did that. Parents took all sorts of risks. In fact, I still see people taking risks today, which surprises me. But the McCanns didn't have a frame of reference because no other child had ever been snatched from a holiday resort. So in a way, while people always say now, I would never leave my children, they won't, because Madeleine McCann was taken, and that's the reason, you know.
Yeah. For anyone who hasn't seen the documentary, what are the main points that surprised you, or what did you learn from it? Because, for example, like, I didn't realise that, you know, in the restaurant that they were dining in every night, they were there every single night at 8:30. They had a block booking.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Anybody who came into that restaurant could see that, and it had a note beside their name saying the children were alone.
Yeah, there was that. I think they were upset about that when they realised that that was such public knowledge, because it was written in the reservations book for anybody to read. Yes, it was that was surprising. Also, the whole thing about the cadaver dogs, because, you know, the way the documentary works is that it kind of builds up a case where you're even nearly wondering about the McCanns, because it presents all of this kind of evidence that the cadaver dogs could sniff blood in the hire car and all, and in the apartment. And then as the, you know, there are 8 episodes, so when it comes then to the end, it sort of turns it all on its head. And, you know, for me, who would be absolutely 100% convinced that the McCanns are entirely innocent in all of this, in terms now of being responsible for any aspect of their daughter's death or disappearance, because that is what the suggestion was. I mean, it's easier to imagine that it's the parents rather than, you know, somebody out there waiting to snatch everybody's children, you know. So I suppose that I felt that they really were put through the mill, and it must have been awful for them to be the suspects, the Arguidos, when, you know, they knew they hadn't done anything and the focus was on them. And meanwhile, their child was out there missing.
All the manpower being put into investigating them.
Yeah, I mean, that must have been just so hard, you know. And yes, they made a mistake, but they didn't kill her, or they didn't kidnap her either. The person who took her is the person who is 100% responsible for it happening. Because if it hadn't been Madeleine, believe me, it would have been some other child. There was somebody who was watching that resort and waiting to take a child. And, you know, it wasn't just an opportunistic thing.
Yeah.
That was well planned. So they unfortunately found a weak link in the fact that the McCanns and their friends all went to the same restaurant every night and followed a pattern. So that made it easy for the person to orchestrate this plan.
We learned in the documentary as well, Andrea, that the day that the children were collected from the kids' club they'd been in earlier that day, both Kate and Jerry said the kids were particularly tired that day and they could barely even walk. They had to be carried back to the apartment. Now, a lot of people are saying maybe they were drugged at the kids' club. Maybe somebody, you know, there's an insider there. Was everyone investigated that worked in the place?
I don't think they were. I mean, I don't even think very many local houses were investigated, unless there was somebody like that Robert Murat guy that was initially identified as a suspect by local journalists, who sort of felt that there was a similarity in his behaviour to Ian Huntley when Holly and Jessica went missing in Soham. He was, you know, he kind of put himself into the investigation, but he was actually the person responsible.
Yeah.
So some of the journalists who were reporting on the case felt that he was similar, so he was investigated and his place was searched. But I always reckon that it was somebody local, because you know, there were all these theories that she was shipped off to Morocco, and, you know, and you could see that when the police were meant to be, when they finally set up barriers and were, you know, were supposed to be checking cars, you could see them sitting in their cars and just letting the other cars go by, you know, so that obviously wasn't being done. But whoever did it would have been out the gap immediately because they had planned this, you know.
Yeah.
But I often wonder, was it somebody who was local? Because there was the report of the child being carried up the road. That has never been proven or disproven. You know, there are all sorts of theories on that. And then she disappears and he disappears, never to be seen again. So I often wondered, was it somebody living locally? And I'm not saying this guy, I have no idea. I'm just wondering, was it somebody who literally carried that child in and did whatever he did and then disposed of her really quickly, because he knew that when it all kicked off that, you know, there would be investigations. But the thing about this is that it would have to be, I mean, the theory that Kate and Jerry somehow overdosed her on some sort of medication to make her sleep and then managed to dispose of her body in a foreign country. I mean, Trina, when you're on holidays, you barely know where you're going most of the time.
Yeah.
How on earth would you dispose of a body never to be seen again in the biggest missing persons hunt the whole world has ever seen?
See, everyone's saying about, you know, when Kate went to check the apartment and realised she wasn't there, the way she came running back saying, they've taken her. People are doubting her, saying, well, how does she know that she's been taken? How does she know she hadn't, you know, gone into the bathroom or hidden under the bed or wandered away somewhere? And then also, why did she not, if she thought that her child had been kidnapped, why didn't she immediately go into mum mode and want to protect the twins who were asleep?
Well, I presume that because there was a report that the window had been jemmied open, you know, that...
Mm.
You
but know, the twins were left when she ran off to tell people Madeline was gone.
If you thought your child had been taken and you were just so hysterical, who knows how you would react, you know? I mean,
that's true,
she didn't have a phone with her. She had no way of running to her husband and her friends for help, you know? So I presume she just blew down in total panic, you know? But yeah, I can understand what you're saying, but she probably sussed that situation very quickly. They had taken one child and that was it. They were gone, you know?
Somebody was saying to me that they were talking about how Kate was always so composed and, you know, going out for her jog and playing tennis while Maddie was still missing. And a lot of people said, well, come on now, if that was my child, there's not a hope I'd be able to do that. And why was she so composed? She didn't show emotion. But I believe as soon as the cameras were switched off, she was an absolute emotional wreck. And
well,
she was trying
I'm
to keep it together.
I'm a huge fan of all those programmes, you know, like Criminal Minds.
Yeah.
And when you watch those, you even I know they're fictional, but they're based on, you know, they get advice from real FBI agents on how to deal with things. And you see on it that the victims' families are always told not to show emotion, because sometimes kidnappers or abductors feed off that. They feed off the emotion. And I cannot imagine, I mean, I could see the absolute agony etched in that woman's face, and to a lesser degree Jerry, because he was kind of more stoic, I think, you know. But you could see the absolute horror and agony. Can you imagine your child going missing and what you would be presuming? And I mean, the reality is that what you are hoping, the worst fear that you have for your child, is probably what has actually happened. They've probably been sexually abused and or murdered. I mean, the pain that she must have been going through, and then trying to keep it all together just to get through from one day to the next to try and advance the investigation. It must have been just awful for her.
The worst part and the most emotional part, I thought, of the entire series, Andrea, was when they decided to go home. They had to go home to the UK because they did have 2-year-old twins. I just don't know how you would manage to do that. But then again, you have to get on with your life. And then the media intrusion on their doorsteps when they arrived home.
They couldn't
literally go into their house without hundreds of media camped out outside.
And that's what made me laugh about the whole idea that, you know, there was this theory that they had hidden Madeline's body for 25 days, then hired a car and...
Like they were watched every move they made.
Yeah, they couldn't go five feet without being followed. You know what I mean? How on earth were they meant to go retrieve a body from whichever magical place they had managed to hide it in and then go and dispose of it without, you know, being trailed anywhere they went? It's ludicrous. But people wanted to believe that because it was easier to believe that it was the parents, you know?
Yeah.
It makes us feel a little bit safer that it's not our children at risk.
There was a couple who were interviewed as well, and they believed that they saw Madeline in the petrol station.
Yeah.
And they didn't act on it. Can you imagine what it must feel to be that couple who might have seen something and didn't do anything?
And also their friend Jane Tanner, because she was the one who saw the man carrying the little girl, you know, who, and the pyjamas matched what Madeline was wearing. The thing about the twins didn't wake up through all of the hullabaloo, and Kate apparently felt that they had been drugged, you know, which I reckon. Did you see the bit where Madeline had asked her mum the day before why she didn't come the night before when herself and Sean were upset? And you would have to wonder what had upset them the night before. Yeah, like maybe there was an attempt the night before and they got scared. So the next time the people came in armed with chloroform or something keep the children asleep, you know.
Do you know what surprised me? A part I'd never heard about before was the fact that there was apparently a paedophile in the area, the masked man.
Yes.
That bit that was included in the documentary. I'd never heard about that before, had you?
No, I hadn't. No. But I did hear that there were quite a few paedophiles who had relocated to the area. And that's what makes me think that it was local. I think it was local because I think that whoever disposed of Madeline's body was familiar enough with the area to dispose of it really quickly and to dispose, well, we're presuming that she's dead, but I think she is dead. I think we probably all believe that, really. But they managed to either hide her or dispose of her body that quickly that she was never detected. You know, and I think that you would have to be very familiar with the area and you would have to have practiced this in your head so often to make it foolproof. But I think that Madeline was unfortunately just a victim of this person who had an agenda that was long planned. And if it wasn't Madeline, it would have been some other child. Unfortunately, her parents put her in the firing line by the fact that they went out for dinner at the same time every night and left the children. But, you know, I was talking about when I was a child and I went to Mosney in Butlins, it was called it, every year. And there were 2,800 people who stayed there in little chalets and 4,000 day visitors arrived into the holiday camp every day. But every single night without fail, all of our parents left us behind and went to whatever was organised for the adults at night. So they went to Dan Lowry's bar or the ballroom or the cinema or the theatre or whatever was on, you know, and we were all left behind in little tiny chalets. Now, bearing in mind, Trina, families were much bigger back then. You might have had six kids left behind, you know, and there were two guys called Chalet Patrol, and every night they would pace up and down all of the chalets, but there were hundreds of chalets, so you would hear them going by, and, you know, if you were killing your brother or whatever, you'd have to pause for a minute until they passed by, and then when you heard the footsteps kind of fading away, then you'd resume, you know, whatever shenanigans you're up to. Now, if they heard a baby crying, they would radio back to their headquarters, and there were these kind of illuminated message boards, you know, like a ticker tape type of thing, that were in the venues, and it would flash up baby crying, chalet number A345. So then your parents, if they saw it, would know to go back, you know. But that was the only thing that was done. Now, I remember in Mosney, you would literally make friends as soon as you arrived, and then you would hang around with people for the week, and you barely saw your parents, only at mealtimes and things like that, or when you needed money or something, you know, you'd find your parents. But the thing I remember is having made this friend, and her older brother was in serious trouble one day because he had set fire to the mattress. Now, they had managed to put it out, but his parents were down in Dan Lowry's bar, because that is the kind of risk that people took. I mean, you hear, you know, people used to bring their babies to shops and leave them outside shops, go in their prams and go into the shops because the, you know, prams weren't allowed into department stores and things. My own granny left behind my mother at one point. She came home from the shop and then went to feed the baby and went, where's the baby? And the baby
forgot
was,
the baby. Yeah, baby was at home.
You know, our babies used to be left out in the garden. So obviously, we have learned from all of those things over the years. And what the McCanns, unfortunately, paid the biggest price of all. But I was in Lidl the other week, and I was just about to leave my car, and I noticed two very small children in the back of the car beside me. I'd say they were about 4 and maybe 18 months, and no parents. And I waited for 10 minutes till the parents came back. You know, they just got in and drove off.
Did you give them a piece of your mind, no?
No, I didn't. I don't think they spoke our language like so. But I just couldn't believe that parents still
would take a risk like that. I think especially on holidays when you go to these resorts, they are family resorts. They expect you to have a buggy and a baby asleep in the buggy if you're staying out in the evening or whatever.
Yeah.
Just never ever take. And there was babysitters available as well in that resort. So But you see, I'm even weird about using the babysitting service. I would be like, I don't know them, so yeah. I'm not going to use. I know they might be recommended by the hotel or whatever, but I just wouldn't go there because I don't personally know them. So I'm not going to take someone else's word for it.
I remember when I moved up to the road I'm living on now and everybody had small children. Now, I don't have children, but they, you know, the vast majority of people on the road had babies as soon as we moved into our houses, which were new. And there were always parties in people's houses and children would be left behind in bedrooms and then parents would take turns going over to check them. It still happens. I mean, since this documentary, I've heard so many parents say that this kind of thing still happens, or, you know, that people think their children are safe in bed and they're in somebody else's house and there's a few drinks taken. And so people have always taken risks around children.
Maybe I'm just overprotective because I actually had a gang over there at Christmas time, quite a big enough gang, you know, but all people that we knew really well. And somebody, a pal of mine asked, started going on a couple of dates with this new guy and asked, could she bring him in? She'd only been on maybe two dates with him.
Yeah.
And I actually said, would you mind if you didn't? Because the baby was going to be, I know it sounds mad, the baby was going to be upstairs in bed and I just didn't want a stranger wandering around my house. Well, is that mad? Is that over the top?
No, I don't think so, because unfortunately we've learned the hard way that really awful things happen. I mean, you hear of things like in the UK last year, was it in Wales, where there was a family party and a six-year-old child went missing and was found murdered by a teenager, you know, who was also at the party. So, you know, you absolutely hear of, I mean, they're few and far between, but they happen on occasion and they scare us to bits. So, yeah, you have to be careful.
And actually, she said your man ended up being a weirdo, so she was glad in the end.
Yeah.
So,
you know. I mean, it is terrible that you have to say something like that. You know, it is awful and awkward because we would never have done that in the past. But I suppose we've all learned really, really stark and horrifying lessons because it happened to other people. And that's the thing that I think is so unfair, that the McCanns are so vilified for this because they have paid the worst price you could possibly hope to pay. And they are, on top of that, being vilified. You know, we've much more punishment. Short of burning them at the stake, what more punishment do we feel that they deserve?
I know. Why do you think, though, you were saying you think that she has been killed. Why hasn't she been found? Why has there been no body found?
I think that whoever took, now this is only my theory, but I think whoever took her sexually abused her because they had been waiting to sexually abuse a child. I would say that they snatched her, abused her and killed her immediately and managed to dispose of her. I don't know. Maybe they burned her body in a barbecue at the back, you know, who knows? Because, you know, the place wasn't swept. The whole resort wasn't checked. Only whoever was a suspect was checked.
Yeah, so, it was an absolute disaster, wasn't it? The whole investigation from the beginning.
Yeah.
And it took them something like 40 minutes before anybody rang the police and then something like 4 hours before a proper investigation started.
Now, you can kind of imagine how the police were overwhelmed because this is a little holiday resort and they weren't obviously geared up for being in the middle of the biggest manhunt that was ever carried out and to have the world's media spotlight on them. So you can understand how they were not prepared. And I would say whoever perpetrated the crime was also very much aware of that, that there wouldn't be a huge police response. And maybe that's why they deliberately targeted a sleepy little holiday village, because they knew that had they perpetrated this crime, just say in Lisbon or somewhere, that, you know, there would have been a much quicker police response because they would have had better manpower.
Now, towards the end of the documentary, we do see some cases in America. So, for example, the JC Dugard case, where she was found after, was it 18 years? And then there was also, you know, of course, there's the Fritzels and all that. Sometimes there is a happy, well, not a happy ending, but sometimes the child is found. Do you think there is any hope at all for Madeleine?
I think Madeleine became so hot to handle that I don't think that there would have been a way of her being found. I mean, I imagine the thought that she is living in some sort of bunker underneath somebody's land. I mean, that just is, you'd rather her be dead than that, wouldn't you? You know, particularly as, I mean, was JC 10 when she was kidnapped?
Which I think is she was 11,
enough.
Yeah.
But, I mean, for Madeleine, she wasn't even 4. What would she have thought was happening at that point? I would hope that she was killed. I mean, the best case scenario for me was that she was sedated and didn't know what was happening when she was being sexually abused and then was killed instantly and her body disposed of. That's the best case scenario. And that's a horrifying case scenario. But for me, that's the best option. The thought that she is still somewhere being sexually abused as somebody's sex slave at this point is just horrendous, because even if she was found tomorrow and was to be returned to the McCanns, what kind of child are they getting back? You know, a child that's going to be so damaged and, you know, has been so used and abused and, you know, it just doesn't bear thinking about. Like, where is the happy ending? There isn't really one.
There isn't one. And the McCanns, I can't even imagine what life must be like for them on a day-to-day basis. Just always having this hanging over them. They don't know. They have no answers. They're no wiser now than they were.
No.
Was it 12 years ago?
Yeah, for all the money and all the manpower that's gone into that investigation, there really has been absolutely nothing but red herrings, you know, unearthed. But the fact that she had that little flaw in her eye means that they will forever look into the eye. In fact, we all do. We still all look at little blonde children, even though now she's, what, 16 or would be 16
she'd
now?
Be about, so. No, I think she'd be about 15 now. Yeah.
So, you know, you would absolutely not recognise that child anyway if you were to see her. But for years we all looked at blonde children with into their eyes to see, was it her? I mean, you would love to think that what she was, you know, there was all these beckless of stories that she was snatched to order for somebody who wanted little blonde-haired, blue-eyed child. The idea is meant to be that there's some rich woman somewhere who can't have a child and all they wanted was a little blonde, blue-eyed girl. But I think that's a bit of a fantasy, really, because unfortunately Annie was only a fairy tale, really. You know, there aren't really people looking to adopt. If that was the case, they could have adopted through legal channels.
How did you feel having watched the full 8 episodes on Netflix, Andrea? Did you feel kind of disturbed by the end, or were you glad you watched it?
I was glad I watched it, because people always throw up the arguments about the cadaver dogs and, you know, as if they're absolute facts. And that's the thing, is that people have read some sort of headline and I mean, I work in newspapers, but still, there were absolutely lurid headlines. And then when you listen to the various editors speaking, saying, oh, should we just lob that in? Just lob that in, you know, lob in some incendiary claim that has everybody vilifying the McCanns all over again. And none of these things were proven. In fact, everything was disproven.
In fact, the bit where Jerry was reading out some of the... They were getting a lot of lovely cards and letters from people supporting them.
Yeah.
And then on camera, he reads out a card where somebody said something terrible to them and wished them dead and everything themselves.
Yeah.
I mean, imagine getting that as well.
Yeah, literally into your house. And you know yourself, even from being in the media, if you get 100 lovely comments and then one kind of half negative one, that's the one you focus on.
Oh yeah, your one is crap on the radio, that one.
Yeah, so you can imagine what it would be like if your child went missing and you have millions of letters of support. That's the one you're reading out on national TV, you know, is that awful one. And
why do you think they didn't want to be involved in the Netflix documentary?
I think because at this stage they're just so worn out of having to answer the same questions and the same arguments, and I presume they felt that nothing extra would have come from it, which it didn't really, apart from, you know, I think answering questions. I mean, I definitely know that, whereas I have always believed totally in their innocence, some of my friends haven't, and having watched the documentary now have changed their mind. So even though they didn't participate, I actually think it was good that they didn't participate, because if they had, everybody would say, well, the only reason it was skewed in their favour was because they were involved. But the fact that they actually didn't have anything to do with it and didn't participate, the programme makers could have skewed it against them, you know, and made it look left out bits that would make it look like they were absolutely guilty. But they didn't. And I think it will have done the McCanns a lot of good in terms of public perception of them. But at the same time, it must be very hard to have all the same old accusations, because 12 years on, you have a whole swathe of new people who maybe were only teenagers at the time when it happened, or children even, and didn't really understand the facts. Now they're getting annoyed all over again about why the children were left in the apartment, and we'd never do that. And yet you hear the same old arguments coming from a new generation, you know, I suppose the McCanns, the worst thing that could possibly happen has happened to them, and they are still nowhere near finding their precious daughter. So, I mean, when you think about it, she was born through IVF. She was very much wanted and loved.
Yes, yeah.
And for all the people claiming that they're such bad parents, the reality is that those children wanted for nothing and had very happy little lives. There was an absolute error in judgment, but it was an error in judgment that an awful lot of parents made at that time. And really, they should be staying there, but for the grace go the rest of us, you know.
Mm-mm. I've actually heard a story recently of somebody leaving a 5-year-old at home to go to do the school run and collect the older child. I can't believe this still happens.
Well, it does. With those children sitting, I mean, I sat in that car watching out for those children because I was worried. And I even do the same around dogs. You know, if I see dogs outside supermarkets. And when I think about it, when I bring my dogs out, I would often have to run into the shop to get something. And the dogs have to stay in the car. I have 6 dogs. If something ever happened to any of those while I was in the shop, I would be absolutely devastated and would totally blame myself. But the reality is, what can you do? You can't bring your pet in. But I see people tying their dog up and the dog is there for 20 minutes and they're inside and I'm going, oh my God. And then when somebody does take the lead, I'm thinking, is that the owner? How's the dog reacting?
I know. You're suspicious of everybody almost.
Yeah, people take massive risks.
And the risk you were saying about the children being left in the car outside the supermarket, I've seen it myself as well. And yeah, I know sometimes it is a big hassle to take the baby out of the car seat, to get the trolley, and sometimes you have a battle because my little one at the moment is going through the phase of she goes rigid when you try and put her into her car seat.
Yeah,
she's having none of it.
She
could be there 10, 15 minutes trying to get her into the car seat. Never in a million years would I dream about going into any shop, even for just 2 seconds, without taking her in. So I think maybe a lot of parents have learned a lot as well from the McCanns.
Yeah.
I remember reading the book there many, many years ago that they wrote, and somebody saying to me, why would you read that and support those? Sure, they're getting the money for that.
Well, they were getting money for the campaign to find their child is what they were getting money for. I mean, the other thing is that if the McCanns had killed her by overdosing her with medication and then managed to dispose of the body, that ludicrous theory, if that was actually to happen, wouldn't you think that they would just kind of go away as soon as the thing was dying down? Wouldn't they let it die down for good and disappear off the way other people do, rather than constantly doing everything to try and remind people of what happened? Because I don't think that's how guilty people behave.
Okay, well, The Disappearance of Madeleine McCann is on Netflix. It is 8 episodes. And if you want to read Andrea Smith's article, very interesting, it is on rsvplive.ie right now. Thanks so much for the chat today. Great chatting to you again, Andrea.
Thanks, Trina.
Cheers.
Take care. Bye-bye.
This is Something for the Weekend. It's Classic Hits.